Hello, this is Josh Hankin of SandbagFitnessSystems.com, and I'm very happy to have Chris Lopez with me today. Chris is a strength conditioning coach up in Canada. I asked Chris to join us today because he's got a really unique and I think very applicable program called FitAndBusyDad.com. Basically, this program is, just as the name implies, built for the busy professional dads that are out there, which are many of us. So I'd like to thank Chris for joining us today. And how you doing there, Chris?
I'm great. The weather's getting a little bit warmer up here in Canada, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah, we're roughing it with the 80s and 90s here in Arizona, so we'll get through it together.
Thanks, Josh. Don't rub it in, man.
So, Chris, let me ask you, you know, obviously there's a lot of fitness programs out there. There's a lot of methods and techniques that people can implement. What made you create your 21-minute fat loss workouts?
The main motivation was basically my workouts. As you know, but I'm sure your readers don't, I've got four little girls at home. So there's my wife and I, and we have four daughters. And what I was finding was with one child, it was great. I was still getting my workouts in. I was training clients, and all was good. With two children, it was a little bit more challenging, but I could still manage it. Three came along, and then four came along, and I noticed that the time was really scarce because you want to make sure that you're spending enough time with your kids and devoting enough time to business and everything. And sometimes, I mean, more often than not, it's your workouts that suffer. So what I was doing was I was trying to devise methods to really try to get a great metabolic boost and get a really energy-promoting workout in the least minimal, I mean, the least possible time I could. And I found that anything under 20 minutes really worked out well because I was still able to maintain a relatively low body fat percentage, so my body composition was pretty good, and I was getting stronger and I was getting a lot more energy throughout the day. So that's kind of where it all stemmed from. It's pretty much a reflection of my life as it is today.
Now, Chris, everyone gets a little skeptical whenever they hear about short workouts being effective. I think the idea of 6-minute abs pops into people's heads, and I think we overall live in a society where more is always seen as better. So, I mean, can you tell us a little bit about the program and why it works?
Yeah, absolutely. Basically, what I've done was I did a lot of research, and I took a look at a lot of the fitness magazines and a lot of the bodybuilding magazines and what they were prescribing when I was coming up with this, with how I was going to structure my workouts. And I noticed that everything, mainly in the bodybuilding magazines, which is what a lot of the general population read these days, they were prescribing, you know, one-hour workouts, completely obliterating one particular muscle, and then hitting a cardio machine for an hour. Now, when it's all said and done, if you're a busy guy and you try to follow one of these programs, I mean, given the time it takes to change and to get to the gym and then to shower, and by the time you're in and out, it's about 3 hours. Now, when you're a busy professional, when you're a busy dad or a busy mom, you don't really have that kind of time anymore. I mean, you've got different responsibilities, and it's all great, that approach, maybe when you're 20 and you really want to focus on bodybuilding. Yeah, that's great. More power to you. But when you're a parent and you've got kids and you've got responsibilities and a full-time job, it just isn't realistic. So basically what I've done was taking a lot of the bang for your buck movements and exercises, squats, deadlifts, a lot of body weight variations like chin-ups, variations of push-ups, different types of rows, and incorporated it into a program that will get you in the gym and out of the gym. Your workout time will total under 21 minutes, and we just focus on the quality exercises that will give you enough of a metabolic response and keep as much of your lean mass or build more lean mass as possible. And that's how you're able to get the results in that short amount of time. It's about focusing on quantity and getting rid of the fluff and the high volume sets and doing a lot of what's unnecessary.
So what do you think most people do that would constitute that unnecessary part? Because I'm sure a lot of people are going to start examining their workouts after this interview and start wondering where they cut out a lot of the junk material. Because I know if you ask most guys, they want to keep that curl and bench in there. You know, they want those guns, those big pecs. What do you see as the most effective ways for guys to keep fit?
Okay, well, like I was saying, multi-joint movements are where it's at as far as I'm concerned. If you want to build muscle and burn fat, I mean, that's what I like to do. So stuff that I would eliminate would be, I mean, in any program, regardless if you're a bodybuilder or not, I would eliminate any type of knee extension, like the quad machine. I would get rid of that. That's a single-joint movement, and that's already been proven to be terrible for your knees. Stuff like lateral raises for your shoulders, or a tricep kickback. That's the name I was looking for. Like something like that would be a lot of fluff in your exercise, and I don't think it really has a place in any type of program. I think you can get a lot more. If you're doing a lateral raise, why not just push a little bit more weight on a military press where you're getting your abs involved as well, you're getting as many heads at the shoulder as well, there's a stability element to it, you're getting a lot of ab work, that's a good bang for your buck exercise. Or a chin-up. I mean, guys love doing bicep curls and that's great, but if you vary your grip on a chin-up, you'll get as much bicep work and you'll do wonders for your posture and for your back and for your lats. And I mean, I'm a big fan of chin-ups. I think that's probably my number one go-to exercise. So I think the fluffy exercises are all the single joint stuff that you'll find in bodybuilding magazines and some of the other magazines out there that I'm not too much of a fan of, as you can see.
So I mean, Chris, I think that's something that we all agree on. The interviews I've done over the past couple of years, everyone seems to be saying the same thing. But let me put you in a little harder position here. A lot of people say that, chimps are great, but let's face it though, the guy who's just maybe just starting out again, who's been off for a while, and that sounds great, but he's like, oh man, I can't do a single chin-up, and is a little intimidated by the idea of doing some of these exercises. How can they start when, whether it's, they're jumping back into getting fit, or maybe have just gotten off the beaten path a little bit?
Well, in the program, what you'll find is there's a prep phase. So I like to take people through a bunch of body weight movements because I come from the kind of philosophy where if you really can't move your body weight, then you really have no business using external resistance. I mean, specifically, as far as chin-ups are concerned, there's a myriad of ways of doing it. I actually have a YouTube video up on my YouTube channel to show you two tricks of how you can get to your first chin-up at home. And it's basically using one of those exercise bands and a door gym, which is mountable chin-up bar that you can put in your door frame. But as far as the guy who's just trying to get back into it and is a little intimidated at the gym, my advice is to try to do some stuff at home. In the Fit and Busy Dad ebook, I show you how you can build your own home gym for under $150, which, if my calculations are correct, that's about 3 months' worth of a gym membership. But you're getting your own home gym at less the cost. I guess less than the cost of what you would pay for a gym for the year. So, as far as the intimidation factor is concerned, I say try it at home. Do some bodyweight stuff at home. Get stable and do everything from there. Once you're confident, maybe you can hit the gym and do some variations of the chin-up exercise, like what I show you in the YouTube video.
Now, what's your YouTube channel so people can check out these videos?
Oh, yeah, great. It's easy. It's youtube.com/fitandbusydad. I've got about 13 videos up there right now. And one of them, I think is probably the most viewed one, is two tricks to get you to do your first chin-up.
That's awesome. And I think you have a big point. I mean, I think gyms are great when you're, starting your early 20s and, in college and so forth, great place to hang out and talk to pretty girls and so forth. But when you're a busy dad or a busy professional, I mean, that's one of the deterrents a lot of people is they don't have the time, like you mentioned. If you count in the drive and the shower time, you're easily at an hour to your time frame. What can people realistically do? I mean, you mentioned under $100 for a home gym. I mean, can a home workout program really be as effective as being in the commercial gyms?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess commercialism has kind of led you to believe that you need to be in a gym. I mean, that's what gym commercials are there for. They're there to make money for them. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you think way back before there was any gyms, people used to, they used to climb, they used to squat, they used to lift heavy things. They did things without the use of a gym. I don't really think it's necessary to build a great body at all. Like I said, I'm a big fan of bodyweight exercises, and I think you can elicit enough of a response to really build muscle and lose fat without having to use the gym. I mean, one of the toughest exercises out there that I don't know a lot of gym goers can actually do is like a handstand push-up. Like if you can bang off handstand push-ups without with ease, I mean, you're going to be pretty strong. You're going to build a lot of muscle. Same thing goes with chin-ups. I mean, if you can do high-rep chin-ups, like in and around 20 chin-ups or whatever, you're going to build an impressive body. Single leg squats, same thing. If you can accommodate your body on one single leg and really squat down and go butt to calves and come back up without any help or any use of stabilization, you're going to get a great workout and you will be strong and you will build muscle and you will burn fat. I mean, those are just three examples right there of how body weight exercises can really help you build a really great physique.
Yeah, I just follow that up. You know, I remember reading in this old Strength and Health magazine how some of the strongest weightlifters actually used to lift in their own basements just with old metal plates and so forth. So, you know, I think the idea of doing home workouts is really applicable. It seems to save people a lot of time too, huh?
Oh, a lot of time, and in this economy especially, a lot of money. I mean, after the year is done, if you take a look at how much time you spend or how much money you spend driving to the gym, and, you know, some people always like to do the post-workout shake at the gym, and in addition to your monthly dues, and if you're paying a personal trainer as well, I mean, that adds up to be a lot. And in this economy, a lot of people can't really afford that right now. It's a bit of a luxury to be part of a gym. Well, this is a solution to kind of get out of that and really focus on getting your results at home.
Well, and you mentioned, you know, gaining more muscle, too, because I think people still think it's either one or the other. You're either going to lose fat or you're going to gain muscle. It's hard to do the two. I mean, is it realistic to expect that people are going to see improvements in muscular size as well as, you know, losing that unwanted body fat that they have?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the principles of the Fit and Busy Dad workouts is the principle of progressive overload, and that's just breaking records and doing a little bit more each time you go out. And that, more often than not, is enough to create a response that will build muscle and basically take your body out of the comfort zone and put it in a position to build muscle. What a lot of people don't realize is that your body needs to constantly be changing, and you need to constantly break records and get yourself out of your comfort zone in order for your body to change. I'm not a big believer in that you can optimally lose fat and build muscle at the same time. I think you can either be in a fat-burning phase and build a little bit of muscle, or be in a muscle-building phase and burn a little bit of fat. But to do both of them optimally, not really realistic. But in the population that I work with, I mean, that's not really what they're looking for. They're looking for a little bit of both and just to be strong and, you know, show a little bit of the six-pack and be able to keep up with their kids. But I think that is that it's definitely possible to do the two at home.
Well, and you know, when you say to progressively overload, you know, a lot of people just instantly think of, you know, adding 5 more pounds to the bar. Can you give us some other examples in which ways that people can see progress within their workouts, especially if they're doing a bodyweight-based program?
For sure. Actually, a workout that I did a couple of days ago involved a circuit of pistols, decline, close grip push-ups, and chin-ups. And all I did was take each exercise and did them for 30 seconds each. And I wrote down exactly how many reps I did. So I think for the 30 seconds, I did like 25 push-ups for the pistols, maybe like 8 pistols. And then for the chin-ups, I think I banged off like 15 or 16 or something like that. And basically, all I did was after I completed that circuit, I rested for about a minute, and then I tried to get in and beat my numbers again. Now, as long as you're doing progressively better each time out, that's progressive overload. That's how you're able to elicit that type of response, because you're overloading your muscles. You're doing a little bit better than you did the last time out. So that's how I incorporated that.
And I think a lot of people don't appreciate timed, you know, interval sets, because they do, I guess they sort of take emphasis over counting reps and put a little, you know, fire in your butt, if you will, and try to, you know, change the emphasis to how many you can do instead of, you know, just sort of going through the motion. Is that one of your favorite training methods to use?
Yeah, absolutely. What I've found with a set number of reps is that people really sell themselves short when they could have been pushing one or two more or lifting a little bit more weight. They kind of have this block or this ceiling in their mind, and they kind of stop at 10 reps or 8 reps or whatever the ceiling is. But when you have time sets, if you just focus on working as hard as you can and just trying to beat yourself each time, I mean, it's usually end up getting a better response. I mean, when you read in a magazine that it's 2 sets of 8 and somebody's doing a shoulder press for 25 pounds and they only do it 8 times when they could have done, you know, 40 pounds probably for 8 times, or they could have done 25 pounds for 15 reps. I mean, they're really selling themselves short, and they're not getting that type of stimulus to change their body. With time sets, which I really, really like, you're always pushing yourself each and every time. You're always trying to beat yourself. And that's how I think you're able to get a lot more results.
And I think a lot of people don't appreciate, too, about time sets that, yeah, the first round sucks, but the second and third and any additional rounds suck far more. Huh? It's the accumulative fatigue that really gets you in those things, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So you get a little bit of a, I mean, I hate the word, but you get a bit of a cardio workout as well.
Yeah, and for those that enjoy the old high school pump, I mean, some of those things can be brutal, especially if you're doing interval sets of chin-ups. That's just absolutely a horrific way of pulling your arms, isn't it?
Well, you know, man. I mean, it's tough. I mean, people tend to tap out a lot whenever I say chin-ups. They're like, okay, enough.
And why are chin-ups such a preference exercise for you over, you know, bicep curls? Because I know a lot of times when I talk to people, they're like, yeah, I do some rows and then I'll hit my curls. You know, are chin-ups really that much better? Should people really be devoting that much time to be getting better at them?
I think so. I mean, they're a multi-joint movement, and I think any exercise for your back, any type of rowing exercise, any type of pulling exercise will be, especially for the population that I work with, would be incredibly beneficial. We live in such an anterior dominant society whereby we do everything in front of us. We drive in front of us. We eat in front of us. We have conversations in front of us. Most of the sports that we play all involve some type of pushing or throwing motion. So our bodies always have a tendency to be tight in front. Our pecs are tight. Our shoulders are tight. We have a forward posture. So a lot of the programs that I write incorporate lots of chins and lots of rowing variations because I like working the back of the body a lot more. And that pulls the shoulders back and gives you the appearance of great posture. It makes your back strong, both your upper and your lower back. And chin-ups is pretty much the foundation for a lot of those exercises. Now, you mentioned bicep curls. A lot of the guys that, like I was saying, that I work with aren't really concerned with bicep curls anymore. They're concerned with, you know, picking up their kid and making sure that they're not breaking their backs when they go over and bend down to pick them up. But, I mean, all the same, a lot of them have mentioned that, you know what, if I do a close grip chin-up and really focus on using my biceps and using my arms, I can get just as good, if not a better bicep workout by just doing that, by just varying the grip.
Awesome, man. And I want to change the emphasis a little bit and ask you about maybe the mentality that you're dealing with because I've seen it. There's such a difference between, you know, guys that are, you know, right out of college and guys that have families. Can you talk about what the difference is that you see with their prioritization and their, you know, what they're looking for and how your program sort of addresses those needs?
Yeah, absolutely. Guys with families now, they're focused more on life, on being able to perform for their kids, being able to be there for their kids, on longevity and being healthy and losing fat and being for the sole purpose of being healthy, not necessarily to try to find a six-pack, but to ensure that they're around, you know, 20, 30, 40 years later so that they can see their grandkids and they can watch their kids grow up. I hear the truth, Josh. I mean, when you're 20 and you're just coming out of college, it's damn easy to lose fat and gain muscle because the only mouth that you have to worry about feeding is you. The only person really that you're responsible for is you. That all changes when you're a parent and when you're a provider for your family. You know, you have to worry about your spouse, your significant other. You've got to worry about one, two, three, in my case, four kids and what you're going to do to feed them. And you're worrying about, you know, what you need to do as a parent to be responsible and to be there for your kids and for your family. And that's how the mentality is completely changed. That's why I have guys coming to me now saying, you know what, this old bodybuilding program from college is not working anymore because I don't have the time. I don't have 6, 8, 10 hours a week to go to the gym anymore. I've got 3 hours a week tops, sometimes even 1 hour a week if you're just getting into the workforce and you've got a young family. What can I do to kind of get the same results but in the least amount of time? And when I get clients like that, I say, okay, listen, this is what you need to do. You need to focus on the multi-joint movements, all the exercises that we talked about previously, and you need to worry more about your lifestyle. What are you doing in your lifestyle? Are you eating well? Are you getting enough sleep? Are you managing your stress levels? Are you trying to simplify things as much as possible so that you can focus all your time on your family and on how you live your lifestyle and not really worry too much about, you know, the exercise part of it?
Well, I think you hit on a couple of key points, and one I wanted to address with you towards the end, you were mentioning it, is sort of the recovery and the stress part, because we all realize exercise is good for us, but it's also a stressor. So when you're dealing with all the stuff that you just mentioned, and then you add exercise in the equation, a lot of people feel overwhelmed. And I know a lot of people, they're like, okay, I got my job, I got my family, I don't want to be absolutely wiped out from my workout to be able to function at home. You know, is that sort of something that you've sort of planned in your workouts, that it's a workout that can be effective, but they're not going to feel trashed every time?
Absolutely. I mean, that's a great point that you just touched on, Josh. I mean, your body sees stress as only that. It sees it as stress. So whether you're having financial problems, or your boss is stressing you out, or you and your wife aren't getting along at this point in time, or your kid is stressing you out, or you're exercising, your body sees that only as stress. It's not able to differentiate. So what I'm trying to do with the Fit and Busy Dad ebook is limit the amount of stress that you actually put on your body. So the workouts are 21 minutes in length, and when you compare that to what most guys really consider a workout when they're getting back into it, which would be jumping on a treadmill and slogging it out for an hour. I mean, that's 1 hour of stress that you're putting on your body. And remember, your body doesn't make that difference. It can't distinguish between stressors. Well, with the circuits that I put together and the workouts that I put together, you're really only working, if you consider under 21 minutes and take away the rest time, it's probably about anywhere from 12 to 16 minutes total of work time when you're doing your workouts. And now that's a lot of less stress than a 1 hour jog or a 45 minute jog on a treadmill or a bodybuilding session that'll take like an hour with high volume sets and really pounding the crap out of your body and out of like one particular muscle group. There's a huge difference. So with that workout time, again, focusing on quality, you're able to, again, get a really great fat burning response and a really good energy promoting response, because you're not really working out for that long. Your work time isn't that long at all.
Well, I think, I'm a believer, because I know that's probably the same philosophy we have with many of our clients. But, I mean, I know some people listening are going to be saying to themselves, well, that sounds great, but, I mean, come on, I need the half hour, 45 minutes on the treadmill in addition to my training. You know, I just had a friend the other day, and I got told by a trainer that, the only way for her to lose fat is if she's doing some cardio. You know, what do you say to people that are like, okay, it's great, I got 21 minutes, but then I'm going to have to add other stuff to my program, right? What do you say to those people?
I say it's not necessary. I say that if you're not able to lose the kind of fat that you want, you need to look into your lifestyle. And I get a lot of people coming in and telling me that they're busy and then they want to do an hour on the treadmill. And I'm saying to them, don't really talk about how busy you are, because it's unnecessary. Let's take a look at your lifestyle. Let's make sure that you're really eating well and that you're making the right choices outside of what you're doing in the gym. And let's see if we can clean it up that way. Because, I mean, Josh, you've probably said this before, but you can't train. You can't out-train a crappy diet.
Right.
So the workouts work. I mean, they're there to, again, stimulate your body to get the right response. And after that, it's all a matter of lifestyle choices. I mean, if you are a busy individual, then you need to really look at the choices that you're making outside of the gym and see if you can clean that up. Because cardio, I mean, I'm 100% believer, is a waste of time. And I think people just do it because they feel bad that they ate a cheeseburger for lunch and they need to burn off those calories.
Right, and can you explain, because, I mean, I've said numerous times, and we've had other people come in and say that, exactly that people try to outwork their nutritional lacking, if you will. Why doesn't that work? Can you go over why that just does not work?
Well, I mean, take a look at it. I mean, as bogus as the calorie counters on the treadmills are, I mean, if you were to hop on a treadmill and run for half an hour, you maybe burn, what, like 250 calories, and then you take a look at the cheeseburger you just ate, and you just ate probably, 750 calories. So you're telling me that it would take 3 treadmill sessions to burn off that cheeseburger? I mean, I just don't think it works that way. The way that the workouts are focused, or the short, quick, intense workouts are focused is, they focus a lot on the post-exercise metabolism. So they're meant to drive your metabolism up so that you reap the benefits of the workout throughout the rest of the day. The regular cardio workouts have shown not to do that. So if we're talking about maybe 60 to 70% of your resting heart rate or whatever the guidelines that most of the governing bodies out there put out for cardio work, that doesn't really give you much of an after effect. So, yeah, you're burning calories once you're doing it, but, I mean, you're not doing that well afterwards. It doesn't really help you afterwards. Another thing that I should point out is that, sorry, gosh, you're going to have to edit this. I lost my train of thought.
Well, we'll come back to it. I know it's how that is. You get on a roll and sometimes it just leaves you. But if it comes back, we'll come back to it because I do want to sort of stay on the, you know, the nutritional side of things because there's, I think that's something else that just is overwhelming to people and they don't know where to start. You know, where do you recommend most people start with when they're looking to clean up their nutritional habits and take a better approach to it? Because, you know, doing a giant overhaul can often lead to people just to quit right off the bat.
I put a big emphasis on eating good quality food. So I do the suggestion of, you know, shopping outside of the aisles in the grocery store. Nothing prepackaged, nothing out of a box, nothing out of a bag. I don't think that it's realistic for busy dads or busy parents to really count calories. And I think you can pretty much eat whatever you want as long as it's good quality. You can eat as much of it as you want. Now, that said, your consciousness of what good quality is has to be in tune with what your body thinks good quality is. So stay away from food products, stuff that's marketed as like low fat or, you know, sugar free or that kind of stuff. I still think the stuff like that is a food product. When I say good quality, I mean eat your fruits and vegetables, eat lots of lean protein, and focus, and this is one that has a tendency to really get neglected, focus on high-quality fats, because I think that's one thing that a lot of people don't realize is really important to their diet for both for health, for brain function, and for metabolism, really getting healthy fats in. So like avocados, nuts, seeds, stuff like olive oil, flaxseed oil, fish oil. I mean, if there's one supplement that I recommend all the time to my clients and my readers, it's fish oil. I think the research is out there that fish oil is one of the best we consume for a healthy life.
And a lot of people, you know, you sort of mentioned it for some of the benefits, but I mean, how do you explain to people the difference? Because, you know, a lot of people still want to say fat is fat.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of that confusion, even though a lot of people have heard of fish oil nowadays or flax oil. How do you explain it to people so that they can best understand the differences?
I pretty much explain it from a health standpoint. I mean, your brain needs fat to operate optimally. Your body needs fat to operate optimally. I mean, all your cells require fat. So fat isn't just fat. Again, it's all about the quality of what you're getting. Jesus, sorry, man. I just lost my train of thought.
See, it's much warmer in Arizona. It's a lot easier to keep your train of thought.
Yeah, I know. It's still a little bit colder here. Okay, so here we go. It's focusing on the quality of stuff. It's even though... Yeah, man, I lost it. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Well, I think, you know, I think you said it perfectly. It's about understanding that there are different types. You know, I often tell people it's like, well, you know, both vegetables and fruits are carbs and so are chocolate and sponge. You know, they're completely different types of carbs, though. And I think that's what you're trying to say, is that if you understand, you know, how the roles are different, then you can understand the sources are different. And I think that's really important because especially guys seem to sort of fluff that stuff up. You know, fish oil and flax oil aren't hardcore supplements. You know, every guy seems to be looking for the next Andrew Steen and so forth like that. So do you encounter guys, you know, sort of talking about that, I mean, that's really a big concern for them? I know a lot of guys, especially dads, as you know, hit 35 and older, I mean, are worried about their testosterone levels. Do you get a lot of that, and how do you address it?
Yeah, actually, I do get a lot of that. And, again, let's go back to the quality of food. I mean, I was reading a book called The Anti-Estrogenic Diet. Have you seen that yet? It was by Ori Hoffmeister. He wrote The Warrior Diet. And it was just talking about how You need to be eating organic, not only in your meats, but in your fruits and vegetables, because the pesticides and the chemicals that they use to spray our food these days are highly estrogenic. I mean, they promote the production of estrogen. And for men, I mean, that's the worst thing that you can get, because that's how you start developing, you know, fat around your belly, and there's less testosterone production. So that's one of the things that I kind of touched on. The second thing is exercising for the promotion of growth hormone. I mean, growth hormone is in the media these days. It's almost like a wonder drug. I mean, people are getting synthetic versions injected into them because of the anti-aging effects. Well, you can get you can promote growth hormone production through exercise, through intense exercise that isn't too stressful, but that makes you work hard. And that's exactly what I'm promoting in the busy dad circuits that we do.
Yeah, and I think that's sort of underemphasized. And because, I mean, hey, we see commercials for Cialis and everything nowadays. So, you know, as it's mainstream, at least here in the States, you know, it seems like everyone has that problem. You know, exercise is definitely one of those best ways to promote, especially the way you're suggesting constructing your workouts. And something just a little, you know, since we've been talking about that, it's a little bit of an odd question, but, you know, can women do your programs too? Can busy moms and busy women professionals do this program? Because I don't think it's really exclusively guys that would only benefit, huh?
No, not at all. And actually, it's funny because I have a lot of women readers that you know, kind of email me and say, you know what, this is great. I mean, this works out perfectly. Like I was saying before, I mean, a lot of the programs and the exercises that I use focus on working the back of your body. Lots of glutes and hamstrings, lots of your upper back and your postural muscles. And women especially have a tendency to not use those muscles enough either. Because of the Q angle of their hips, they're more quad dominant naturally. So to be able to focus more on their glutes and their hamstrings will do wonders for that angle in their hips and the predisposition to using the front of their body too much. Same thing with postural stuff. I mean, women love it because of all the postural stuff and because it forces them to really pull their shoulders back and get their back stronger to combat a lot of the forward C posture that not only men but women kind of experience in today's everyday life. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of women that are really jumping on the fit and busy dad bandwagon and getting into the workouts as well.
Oh, don't tell Holly Rigsby, but I see the fit and busy mom program coming. I say that because, you know, I'm thinking, you know, from the clients I work with, you know, I deal with a lot, I'm sure, same type of people you do, you know, married couples and or people that have families. And it's great when one person is, you know, starting to get into exercise, but really it makes a big difference when the whole family's involved. And, you know, if you can make that time, you know, if you know, the busy dad starts saying, hey, I'm on this great fitness program, and the busy mom can jump in, it would seem like it would lead to a better overall result. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, social support is one of those hidden kind of factors when it comes to getting a great body or losing fat or, you know, just getting in shape. I mean, it's really tough if a husband's really into it and gung-ho about it and he doesn't really have the support of his wife, or vice versa. I mean, who isn't maybe eating as well or isn't as conscious about the choices that she's making. When you can get both husband and wife on board, you have your natural support system there. Each one has each other's backs. You're able to lean on them and really kind of keep them in order, and they keep you in order just the same because you're in the same mentality, you're in the same program, and you know that you're doing your best for your kids, and you're being an example for your kids as well. So your kids will see what you're doing in your home to become better parents, healthier parents. You live an active lifestyle, you eat great food, and kids don't really learn, in my experience. They don't learn by you shutting your mouth off at them. I mean, I can tell my daughter until I'm blue in the face to eat an apple, but she's not going to eat an apple unless she sees me eat an apple or eat a head of broccoli or, you know, do something that's good for my body. So I think kids especially really learn from your example, and they're sponges. They kind of take that and they want to be like their parents because you are their first role model, and all you're doing is really setting the groundwork for living a healthier lifestyle for them later on. And you're doing that just through setting the example, just through making the choice of being a healthier family and wanting to do what's best for you and your spouse and your kids.
Right, because it seems like, you know, a lot of guys, they don't want to work out with their wives because, you know, they don't want to do a girly program. They don't want to hit their inner thighs and so forth. And a lot of women hate working out with their husbands because they don't want to sit there and do biceps and chest all day. So this seems sort of to be a happy medium where both parties can be really pleased with what they do, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's funny you mentioned that because I had one reader on the Ning site, on my community site, busydad.ning.com, and he emailed me in and said, you know what, I did your weekend workout challenge, and my wife kicked my ass. And I'm really embarrassed about that. How am I going to get better at doing this? So, the weekend workout challenge was just a challenge I put out there to my readers to get a great workout in the minimal amount of time, and I motivate them by saying, you know what, post your times on the forum, and you know it's based on the honor system. But if you like, whoever gets the best, say top two times, I'll put you in a draw to win a T-shirt at the end of the month, and then I'll ship them off a T-shirt with whoever wins that. So yeah, I mean, a lot of women think that it's, you know, it's all biceps and chest and, you know, doing big bench stuff, but that's not the case at all. And I mean, yeah, like I said, I had one wife kick her husband's butt, and it was pretty embarrassing for him.
Right, because I mean, I would think most of the people you're working with, I always use the analogy, you know, when you're sort of in high school and early 20s, you want to be the muscle and fitness guy, and when you get older and have better, you know, perspective on things, you want to be more the men's health guy. You know, and I think those are guys that display, you know, that the idea that you're more athletic and overall fit. And, you know, basically, you know, can you take us through, and you gave us a great example of one of your programs, but what would be like a good couple of different examples of how you integrate different methods into some programs so people can get that sort of cardiovascular and strength component?
Okay, well, I use the time sets, and what I like to do is probably combine maybe four or five exercises together in one circuit, for example. So we'll start off with, I'm a big fan of unilateral exercises, so one-legged exercises, because I think that they have a high carryover to everyday life, and I get a lot of weekend warrior dads who, you know, still play in the touch football leagues or play pickup basketball with their buddies. So doing a lot of that unilateral stuff, single-leg stuff, has a higher carryover to whatever you're doing athletically or just in everyday life altogether. So just as an aside. So a regular workout would be, say we do a bodyweight Bulgarian split squat. So that is where your back leg is elevated. And we would do that for timed reps, say 30 seconds on each leg. And immediately after that, we do an elevated push-up. So your toes are on a bench or on a chair, and your hands are on the ground, and you're doing push-ups that way, and that you would do for 30 seconds. Then immediately after that, we would get into either a lying one-leg hip extension or a Cook hip lift, again, for the back of your body, your glutes and your hamstrings primarily, and you would do that for a time set, and then finish that off with a set of chin-ups. So you're pretty much tackling every major muscle group, and you're getting it in four workouts in a time set. And then if I really wanted to, I would incorporate like an ab exercise. Now, I'm not a big fan of crunches or a lot of hip flexion exercises because, again, that forces your body to really go anterior. So what I would do is just like a stability exercise. So maybe a plank or a side plank for time, or if I have a really advanced client or somebody really likes to push themselves, I would do like an ab wheel rollout or a hip to hip touch, which is one of Stu McGill's little tricks.
That's awesome. I mean, that gives people a lot of ideas that you can do a lot with a little and a little bit of time, both equipment wise and from a time frame perspective. And I just sort of wanted to, you know, that I always speak in idealistic terms. I know you do too, because you have to when you're just sort of writing programs, general programs for people. But I'm sure you get the people that write in and go, hey, Chris, you know, I'm suffering from a bad back or bad knee or bad shoulder. How can those people still benefit from your program? Do you, you know, what modifications might you change?
You know what? The prep phase of the program that I have, I pretty much have everybody go through it, tackles a lot of that stuff, because the prep phase of the program concentrates a lot on clients with lower backs, because you know what, that is the population that I'm working with. I mean, these are guys that are just starting to get back into it, that sit in an office chair for, you know, 8 to 12 hours a day, and they just have terrible posture and terrible core functioning altogether. So as far as modifications are concerned,
Abdominal bracing and a lot of hip bridging is what I do to try to combat that bad lower back. And I pretty much get the guys to go at their own pace. I mean, if they can't squat to a certain depth because it hurts their back too much, or they find that their tailbone curls in too much, then I'll give them a benchmark and really try to help them with their mobility in their hips to get their hips functioning a little bit better. And it can be just easy as, putting a chair underneath them when they're squatting to start, and then slowly lowering that platform each and every time as we address their hip mobility issues or their core functioning issues. But in that core, in the initial phase of the core program, which could last anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks, there is a myriad of forms of bracing, of hip extensions, of really just focusing on making sure that the areas that need to be addressed because you have a bad lower back, which is glute functioning and proper abdominal functioning, are addressed and taken care of. So I try to clean everything up in those 2 to 4 weeks before they really get into the majority of the program. Sorry, a little fire truck.
I was going to say, are you in trouble over there? I mean, it sounds like you're really stirring up some stuff.
No, I'm pretty clean cut, Josh. You know that. I got to keep myself in order.
That's awesome. No, I mean, I think the low back stuff obviously is a big one because just, you know, people do get, you know, inactive and, you know, they do sit behind a desk all day. So it does become quite an issue for a lot of people. And they, I guess that almost becomes a deterrent for people, doesn't it? Just the fear that they're going to hurt themselves worse.
Yeah. I mean, and that's where the abdominal bracing really comes into play. I mean, there's a lot of research that's come out over the past 3 to 5 years on how your lower back wasn't really meant to rotate, and that a lot of the mobility that you're supposed to get isn't really in your lower back. It should be through your hips, and it's your upper back that should be more mobile. So your T-spine, your mid-back, your upper mid-back area. So you'll find that a lot of guys still come in with a mentality that I need to do like a certain number of wood chops, or I need to do twisting crunches and that kind of stuff. And that's not really the purpose of what your lower back should be doing. The lower back is there to kind of hold you in place and keep yourself stable, which is the reason for all the planks and the side planks and the bridging and all of that, because that's exactly what you're doing. You're working your lower back the way it's meant to be worked, and then we tackle the pain in the lower back issues by really promoting hip mobility and T-spine mobility by doing a lot of exercises to really mobilize that, lots of foam rolling, and cleaning those areas up.
It seems like they sort of go hand in hand, you know, shoulder and, and low backs. You know, usually people that have really tight hips and really bad thoracic spine mobility also have bad shoulders and bad backs, huh?
Yeah, well, it's a compensatory thing, right? I mean, whatever isn't working, your body will find some way to make it work, even though it's not using the right muscles. So, it's pretty tough, especially for people who have chronically bad lower back. So I really emphasize, you know, going through that prep phase for the full 4 weeks as opposed to the 2. But I find that more often than not, I mean, probably four out of five times, you know, you're able to clean up a lot of that discomfort and a lot of that limitation in exercise by just focusing on the bridging and focusing on really stabilizing your spine through the planks and through the bridges. And more often than not, that clears up a lot of the issues.
Well, yeah, I guess it's kind of ironic because, I mean, from a guy's perspective, you know, most guys don't train that part of their body. That's why they have so many issues. And as a good friend of mine says, you know, most guys have suffer from no ass at all syndrome.
I've never heard that one before. I like that one.
Yeah, you know, and you know, we sort of joke because we live in I think Western societies often, you know, both men and women, we see it more profoundly. And, you know, from, you know, a female perspective, obviously they want for cosmetic reasons, and for guys they should want for, you know, the same reasons. I mean, because that's your power center, right? So all those weekend warriors that want to go golfing and play basketball and tennis, I mean, they need to have that area strong and powerful, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, that is your, like what you said, I mean, that is your power center. That is where everything is generated from. And if you're not strong and you're not stable in that area, then, I mean, you'll feel it the next day, the first time out when you haven't been exercising and you go out and you swing a golf club or you play a round of 18, or you go out and play pickup with your buddies. I mean, more often than not, I mean, there are guys that email me that can't get out of bed the next day because they just completely mess themselves up. Their body didn't know what hit them. And a lot of the time, it's that lower back, region that really takes a hit.
And I think that's, you know, I think that's good because, I mean, you probably get a lot of people, you mentioned earlier that the weekend warrior types are the guys that, you know, they want to play recreational golf. And a lot of people, I think, especially with golf, they don't think of it as a really intense activity. So I guess when you calculate the amount of force you're producing and the amount of time you're doing it, it's kind of a brutal sport for a lot of people to play that are so untrained, isn't it?
Oh, for sure. Because I mean, you only swing a golf club one way, so there's no real way to kind of combat and go the opposite way. So your body gets an equal amount of work. I mean, a lot of people say that's why Tiger Woods really had that problem with his knee because he wasn't able to rotate through his hips well enough. And his knee had to overcompensate for that lack of mobility in the hips. I mean, yeah, and just based on the fact that it you only swing that golf club one way, I mean, your body will take a beating. It'll favor that one way. And I've got a golfer actually right now that I'm working with who's 72 years old, and we're just working a lot on getting a lot of really good hip mobility in him, especially in that I think it's in his left hip because he doesn't have a lot of mobility going the other way.
Yeah, that's, you know, I think a lot of, as people use golf, I think mostly not as a form of exercise, but a de-stressor. So it can almost be more of a stress because they develop these little injuries along the way. So I think that's a really important fact to bring up. And Chris, we're, you know, ending towards the end of our hour, and I super appreciate your time. I think there's been some awesome information. So I just want to bear with us a couple more, just pick your brain type questions. Especially people that are, you know, doing other types of activities or are worried about, you know, how many times a week do they have to work out? How do your programs work as far as the amount of times a week people have to dedicate towards their exercise programs?
Well, everything is structured in 20-minute blocks. And the way I structure things is that one doesn't necessarily conflict with the other. So there's usually a strength segment and then a body weight segment for metabolic work or for quote-unquote interval work or cardio work or however you want to call it. So, I mean, if you've got 4 days a week to work out, then, I mean, that's great. You would do, say, like a Monday, Tuesday, take Wednesday off and do a Thursday, Friday schedule. Some of the more advanced programs requires that you work out 6 days, but the way I've structured it is you can block them. So if you've got 40 minutes, you can work out three times a week and do 20 minutes for your strength component and do your interval component immediately afterwards. And then if you're using that, then you would go Monday, Wednesday, Friday. If you've only got 20 minutes a day, you can go every day as long as you can take one day off throughout the week. They're really efficient that way. I set them up pretty, like I said, I mean, they're pretty logical because, I mean, it's a reflection of my life. I crave simplicity. So if I can make it as simple as I can for the end user, then that's what I'm going to try to do. So 20-minute blocks, you can stack them up one on top of the other, or you can do one each on separate days. The only rule is that you take at least like one day off a week where you're kind of just enjoying yourself and not really worrying too much about exercise.
Awesome. And, you know, one more thing I want to sort of get your opinion on, because I think it's such a hot topic. I see it so much in the area we live. But there's a lot of people now that are, you know, we talk about one reason that people exercise is for energy and to feel better. And it seems to be more, you know, popular than ever, the whole energy drinks and caffeine boosters and so forth. What's your thought in relation to those things being used and how it affects body fat loss? Now, have you had any experience seeing a difference in people that use that stuff and people that don't?
I'm not sure about the research on it, but what I've known is I had one client who was using a fat burner, and it was jacked full of caffeine, and he was using it actually. He was using the fat burner, but he knew that there was caffeine in it because he was pretty stressed out and he was pretty busy and he just needed more energy. And what he found is that his quality of sleep is terrible, and that he's having a lot harder time really losing fat. I think because mainly his body was just relying on this external source, this synthetic source, to really give him energy and maybe burn a little bit of fat, that now that he's completely off the supplement, we've cleared that all up, he's having a harder time because his body's so used to, you know, using that thing, some type of caffeine supplement. As far as the energy drinks are concerned, I mean, I'm not going to knock caffeine because I'm a bit of an espresso connoisseur, so I'll have one or two. I'll have one or two doubles, in, you know, every day. But I don't rely on it to really give me energy. I mean, I like it. I mean, I enjoy it. So that's why I have them. But I'm not a big fan of the synthetic thing. Again, it goes back to the quality of food. I mean, anything prepackaged I don't want to name any products, but I mean, we all know the drinks that are out there. It was made in a factory. I mean, it's like the difference between butter and margarine. I mean, when I ask my kids where butter comes from, they automatically say cow's milk or a cow. And then when I ask them where margarine comes from, they really don't know. Well, margarine comes from a factory. I mean, it's the same thing. If you need to stay hydrated, I mean, you should be drinking water because it's naturally available. It's readily available anywhere. Instead of drinking one of these high priced, overpriced, snazzy labeled energy drinks. And chances are, if you don't have a lot of energy and you're a busy parent or you're a busy professional and you're jacked up on caffeine, you don't have a lot of energy because you're probably dehydrated. I mean, so try the water. I mean, I'm not a big fan of energy drinks at all, let alone anything out of a can.
That's awesome, man. I mean, that's talking about stuff because, I mean, this is stuff that people deal with every day. You know, we could argue over sets and reps, but this is the real stuff that, you know, I think a lot of people struggle with on a daily basis. So I want to take the last couple of minutes just talking about more in depth about your program and to give people the website. It's fitandbusydad.com. And when they go on the site, Chris, it looks like you give them a lot for the program. It's not just the ebook. Tell us a little bit about what people get when they sign up for your program.
Well, I mean, to be a fit and busy dad doesn't only mean the exercise part of it. I mean, a lifestyle has a ton to do with it. So what I try to do is I try to give them as many tools as they can to use in their life, because that's about what it is. I mean, fit and busy dad is about a lifestyle. It's about, you know, doing what's necessary to stay fit and to stay healthy, but also enjoying your time as an active individual, as an active family man or an active family parent. So what I do is there's a couple of interviews in there. There's a lifestyle and goal setting interview with our friend and mentor Dax Moy. You know him very well, don't you, Josh?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then my friend Brad Pilon, there's an audio interview there. And he's a nutrition expert who's got a unique way of looking at nutrition. In addition to that, there's a body weight solution. So there's a body weight circuits program. So I mean, you pretty much take away the excuse of not having enough time to work out, because these are body weight circuits that you can do in five or 10 minutes. And if you string a few of them together, you end up getting a great workout. There's a gym program as well. That if you do actually have time in the gym, there's a great muscle building program in there called Big Daddy. I'm a big fan of that one too. I do those workouts as often as I can. And there's a home muscle building program that we've got in there as well as a bunch of other bonuses. So I try to give them as many tools as I can to help them out with their lifestyle. And again, it's not only about fitness and being a busy dad, but it's also tackling the like what we talked about today, the daily issues, the major issues that busy parents or busy dads kind of face in today's world.
Yeah, it looks like there's about eight different things that you get, different materials that address different issues to getting fit. And I think that's awesome because, I mean, you know, just focusing on the exercises is enough. You got to look at the big picture. And it looks like you have a complete system. It's not just a book about how to train. So I definitely recommend that people jump over and get to fitandbusydad.com. And I just want to finish up, Chris. Now, are you working on any new projects? Is there anything that people should be on the lookout for? Is there a way to get in contact with you and, you know, if people want to find out more?
Yeah, absolutely. As far as projects are concerned, I've got a few things on the go. I'm really starting to dive into the whole lifestyle thing. So I've got a project called the UltimateDadLifestyle.com that I'm getting to release hopefully by it'll hopefully be up by September. And what that is a series of interviews and a few ebooks and some bonuses and everything that will, again, really go in-depth into a busy dad lifestyle and really trying to be the best you can, not only as a healthy individual, but for your kids. I'm interviewing a financial expert on how to save for your kids' education. There's a couple of authors in there on how to live simplistically and how to, you know, live efficiently in your life, especially for today's economic times. And there's an ad product that I'm coming out. I've had a few dads who have been on my program for about a few months now, and they're really looking to take it to the next level. So there's a new program coming out called SixPackDad.com, and it's pretty much an ab program, a really focused body fat program that that I'm working on. But to reach me, go to fitandbusydad.com. You can reach me at info@fitandbusydad.com, and I've got a blog as well at fitandbusydad.blogspot.com. And I get some pretty good comments on there and a lot of great information. The readership's doing really well. And if you really like what you see, then you can also join the community over at fitandbusydad.ming.com, which is our free meet community. And basically what I do right now, we've got 100 members in there, and I try to give them previews of workouts that I'm working on, use them as guinea pigs to try to help them out a little bit and answer the workout questions. It basically is just more access to me, so I get a lot of interaction, and there's a lot of like-minded individuals in there who are really supportive and really provide that, like we were saying before, that missing link, that social support with like-minded individuals.
That's awesome. You know, I definitely recommend people get over there because it's nice to be able to relate and to speak with people that have the same interest, because sometimes you may be the only guy in the office or around, you know, in your circle of friends that are trying to get into this, and it's hard to get started. So this would be a great idea for people that want to get involved and have that support to find a free resource to do that. And Chris, you're on there giving great information. So I really want to thank you today for taking time out of your busy schedule and sharing your ideas with us. And really encourage people to get over to fitandbusydad.com. Chris, thank you so much. Really look forward to talking to you again in the near future.
Yeah, anytime. For you, Josh, anything, man, anytime. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate everything. Thanks,
Chris.